Changed by Love is the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Morris County, New Jersey. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives. Throughout church history, it has been common for certain topics to become front and center in the church. In recent times, the issue of healing from sickness is one such topic. However, in James chapter 5, we see that healing comes inside the more extensive subject of prayer. In our modern society, it is hard for us to imagine how what is a simple sickness to us could be devastating and cause even death to people in Bible times. In such times, prayer was essential to the healing process, and our prayer is also essential. Here's Pastor Jim to conclude his message, Prayer and Healing, Part 1.
Now, some of you, there's people who come here that still consider themselves to be Catholic. I love you. I'm glad you're here. There are people that come to our church that consider themselves to be charismatic Catholics. They come here. I love you. I'm glad you're here. I'm just telling you where I came down on that. As we close, while continuationists and cessationists believe differently, some are friendly and some are hostile. And I will always side, even if someone's different than me. So if I'm not a cessationist, it means I'm what? A continuous. I will always be glad to dialogue with the friendly. Even if someone's way in a different camp of continuation than I am. Why? Well, 1 Corinthians 14, the very beginning of the verse 1, when the Apostle Paul's talking about spiritual gifts, he says, pursue love. That's a command. And desire spiritual gifts. Pursue love. Pursue love. No matter what you do, no matter where you come down, best friend is he's a tongue talker. And you think that's a bunch of gobbledygook. Pursue love. Pursue love. Don't divide over that. Agree on the gospel, how we come to saving faith by turning from our sin to God and putting our trust in Jesus Christ, and pursue spiritual gifts. There's tons of them throughout the Bible. J.B. Phillips translates it this way, follow then the way of love while you set your heart on the gifts of the Spirit. So we can disagree lovingly. However, I would say this, when people are hurt by manipulation and when the name of the Lord is blasphemed by fuller revelation that is just clearly manipulation, that love must be firm. And don't feel bad about that. If you'd like a more balanced discussion on this, it's not that academic. It's somewhat academic, but there's a book called Our Miraculous Gifts for Today, Four Views, edited by Wayne Grudem. I've read it a couple times. They're guys written by guys who are well-studied in each area, and it's one of those things, you read each guy's case, you go, yeah, that makes sense, and then you read the counterpoint, and you go, yeah, no, that doesn't make sense, and then you read the next guy's, and it just goes like that. Going back to verse 14 and 15, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Once again, and I didn't read all the way through to 18, the emphasis on verse 13 to 18 is on prayer, not healing. Healing is just a big topic for us in the day in which we live in. In verse 13, which we covered, James was more or less talking about praying for yourself. 14 and 15, he's talking about the leaders in the church praying for the sick. As the passage goes on in verse 16, he moves to all of us praying for one another, and that prayer and all of our prayer is effective. Now, you said, wait a minute, Pastor Jim, you gave us positions on healing, miracles, and speaking in tongues, which is right. We're going to have to let the Word of God answer that for us. It's hard for us to imagine, though, how much worse sickness was in the ancient world. Things that are nothing to us would have actually killed them. Now, tonight, it's too late to go into much detail. So if you want to know more detail on this, we're gonna fine-tooth comb these verses next week. But we begin with a sick person calling for the church leaders. Sometimes these people are called overseers. They are people called by God and ones that the church has recognized. Don't forget that. Sometimes people go, well, God called me to this, but the church has also recognized you to care for God's flock. So who is it? Well, for many of you, it's the pastors, or it could be your home group or ministry leader. Sadly, many people are not appointed by the church, but they become self-appointed leaders. Whether you go here or you're somewhere else, be careful with that. Pray for people, yes. But if you overstep your bounds, you may find yourself on the slow boat to ministry instead of the fast track that you might be looking for. A few things seem clear to me. And again, we're really not going to talk about the dynamics of this. If you say, and I know some people watching might say this, that you are called to pastoral ministry, and you do not feel the burden to visit the sick, you might want to question your call. You might want to question your call. You see, the call to ministry is the call to serve God and God's flock in love. If you're a one or two man band, particularly you're a one man band, you don't want to be part of a team, you may need to question your call, or maybe it needs to be clarified. If you only feel called to help your friends, that makes you friendly. But James has already addressed the sin of favoritism. So that's why we work hard not to play favorites. That's why it takes so long to go through lists of people to try and email or call or contact in emergencies and all that kind of stuff. But we'll also see in the weeks to come that this ministry of praying for people is a ministry for all followers of Jesus, all followers. And James is going to get pretty specific. Now, the cessationists are quick to point out that in the Bible, the miracles are more in clusters than they are in normal. And pretty tough to argue with that. If you look at the vast majority of miracles, the vast majority of miracles are often tied to three periods of biblical history. Not that they don't exist in other times, but there's three times when they really seem to be in motion. One is the time of Moses and the giving of the law. Another time is in the ministry of Elijah and Elisha, the age of the prophets. Remember, those are Elijah and Moses. They're the guys who met with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. The third time is the period of Jesus and the apostles. Now, nobody did miracles like Jesus did. Nobody. It was incredible. You look in the book of Acts and you're like, oh, they're doing miracles like Jesus. It's about 30 miracles over about 30 years. I mean, I don't know how many they did, and people were bringing handkerchiefs to Paul and stuff like that, but Jesus was just, it was just incredible what he was doing. For Jesus, the miracles demonstrated a lot of different things. The miracles demonstrated the compassion of God. I mean, you watch Jesus with the miracles, and you're thinking, man, God loves people. He really loves people. For Jesus, it also demonstrated who he really was. You know, Jesus said, you know, to a guy's paralyzed, he says, your sins are forgiven. The people, I can't believe it. Jesus says, what's easier to say to a guy, your sins are forgiven, or pick up your mat and walk? Now, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. Anybody can say that. But to say to a guy, pick up your mat and walk, that's impossible. That's a miracle. Jesus says, just right there, he goes, just so you know, the Son of Man can forgive sins. Watch this. Pick up your mat and walk. As what? Proof of who he was. It authenticated his identity and the entirety of his ministry. I mean, really? A guy's going around saying, yeah, they're going to kill me and I'm going to rise from the dead 3 days later. Yeah, they're going to kill me. Those guys right over there. Yep, they're going to kill me on the cross. That's how I'm going to die. Jews and the Gentiles, they're going to all kill me. But 3 days, I'll be walking around. I'll be fine. Don't worry about it. That's pretty authentic. It's pretty authentic. Acts 14:3 tells us about the apostles. It says, therefore, they, that would be the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So what were the signs and wonders doing? It was authenticating their message. It was authenticating their gospel. It was authenticating that they were God's representatives. However, when I read this passage here in James, and this is part of the reason where I come down in the place where I am, it doesn't seem to me that James is speaking of a practice that will end with the apostles' ministry. It just doesn't seem that way to me. Nor, as some claim, does James indicate there will be certain people with the gift of healing in our churches. Now, do I think some doctors are healers? I do. We'll talk about that in a second. But it's interesting, 1 Corinthians 12, where a lot of this stuff comes up, people say, oh, well, I have the gift of healing. It doesn't say that. Some of our versions, again, are misleading. The actual language is the gifts, plural, of healings, plural. So if they're both plural, it certainly would appear to be that at different times, God gives different gifts of healing to different people in different circumstances. We'll talk more about that next week. It seems to me in this passage that James is talking to every local church in every age to come, and not only in healing, but that prayer is every member ministry, that we're all supposed to be engaged in it together. Another thing worth mentioning is the subject of the oil. Often symbolic of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, here could be an aid to faith. But sadly, somehow, with only a few hundred years later, they go from baby, you got some oil, olive, just some, you know, kind of any kind of oil you got, olive oil, whatever you got, right? Somehow it gets to, within a few hundred years, the oil had to be specially blessed and anointed by the clergy. 1,000 years later, only a priest could do it. A few hundred years after that, it was only for the dying, something in a sacrament called extreme unction. I'm sorry. Not really. But I can't see James talking about any of that stuff here. All of that sounds like fuller revelation stuff to me. Yet, these days in other parts of the church, people are anointing anything and everything. They call the man of God over to their house And they're like, will you anoint things? I've had people say, will you come out and anoint my new car? I'm like, just drive safe, man. Get it serviced. Others say, oh, you got to come to my church, man. The oil is dripping off the walls. What is that? The oil is dripping off the walls? I mean, I'm like, you mean figuratively? And they're like, no, literally. During the church service, you'll see it. It's dripping off the walls. But that's not what they're like, you know, like from James 5. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about praying for the sick, and he's talking about healing. Now, some will counter, oil was used in the ancient world for medicinal purposes. I remember, Pastor Jim, I remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. Agreed. But it's not the only medicine. Paul told Timothy, hey, take a little bit of wine for your stomach. This leads us to a very important yet overlooked aspect of God, his providential blessings, that he reserves the right to work in different ways through different means to accomplish his will for his people as we trust in him. Once again, God uses different means to accomplish his will, both the miraculous and the seemingly normal. This is something that I believe. I believe that humanity's thirst for knowledge is a gift from God. I believe that humanity's desire to find new cures is a gift from God. I believe that those pursuits are good and they are the result of the providential grace of God. So whenever there's some medicine that I know of that I'm thinking, oh my goodness, if I lived in Bible times, this might have killed me, and I can just take it or get a shot or something like that and be fine, I think, oh God, your providence, the way you've helped mankind desire to survive and to seek out new things is a wonderful thing. I told the story a couple of years back. When I first got very, very sick with my neurological disorder, I went to an Orthodox Jewish doctor, and she asked me in all sincerity, because when we met, she said to me, she says, well, I'm an Orthodox Jew. I'm out of here at 5 on Friday, or you know, I got to be out before sundown on Fridays. I don't talk to anybody. I'm not on call on Saturdays. And so I'm fine. And told her that I was a Christian. And she asked me in all sincerity, she said, tell me how you approach your illness. I want to know in your faith, how do you approach your illness? I said, that's a very simple question. Very simple. I said, first off, and I don't say out of respect, I usually when I talk with Orthodox Jewish people, Hasidic Jewish people, which I knew a lot from the business world, I call them the Almighty because I've picked it up from them. I don't say the Lord. I don't say Yahweh. I don't say God. I don't say Jesus. I'll just say the Almighty. We may get to the Jesus discussion, but I'll just say, I pray that the Almighty heals me. And then before I come to see you, and even on the drive here, I pray that the Almighty gives you great wisdom in how to help me get healed. And then I go home and I do what you tell me to do. And as I'm doing what you tell me to do, I'm praying that the Almighty heals me. It's that simple for me. And it makes me feel that confident because I know the Almighty hears me. In chapter 1, James told us what? You don't have wisdom? You need to pray for wisdom. In chapter 4, he says, You guess what? You ask, but you don't receive. You know why? Because you ask for the wrong things. You ask for your passions and your desires. You don't ask for what's right. Here, James is going to teach us and tell us how to pray for the sick, and then he's going to move into confessing our sins. What in the world is he doing? And then, interestingly enough, he uses Elijah as an example, and he says that dude was a normal guy just like you and me. And yet his prayer was so effective. And your prayer can be too. And then he's going to turn to us and he's going to say, your role, Christian, my role, is to turn people who wander back to the truth. Our role is to save souls from death. And that's got to be something as a church we have to be so about. Telling people how to get the forgiveness of sins and eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's not just the pastor's job, it's every member ministry. It used to be what? Loved ones. Come and see. Come to our church. Let's pack out the place. Now what is it? Now it's go and tell. Because some people are afraid to come. Although it's interesting to see how many people who are not church people are willing to come to church now, while the church people are staying home. What's James doing? I honestly think he's saying to us, why don't we pray like we should? Why don't we pray like we should? Why don't we pray with bold faith and trust instead of this attitude of like, I kind of hope you'll do it, God. Like, please, pretty please. I suspect, loved ones, and I'm as guilty as this as anybody else, that we live too much in the natural realm, or we live too much in the technological realm, and we spend too little time in the supernatural realm. I think we might be saying prayer changes things. And when it doesn't, we say, well, prayer changes me. And I think James might challenge all of us and say, you know what? You don't believe that as much as you say you do. Because prayer hasn't changed as much things as God wants to change. And you and I haven't changed as much as we know God wants us to change. Yet all we have to do is look at the cross and the resurrection, and it shows us that all things are possible. The cross shows us, by Jesus dying on the cross in our place for our sins, that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God hears the cry of the sinner. God cares. God wants to forgive your sins and my sins. If we are Christians, we are constantly asking God for forgiveness. If you are not a Christian, tonight, ask God to heal your heart. Ask God to forgive your sins. Turn away from your sins to Jesus. Turn away from thinking you can do it yourself and put your trust in Jesus Christ, the Christ of the cross. And the resurrection shows us, when Jesus walked out of that tomb in a resurrected body, the resurrection shows us that God can heal, that God can bring life out of death, that the Lord Jesus Christ was no mere man. He can heal both body and soul, and he can do that for you. So if you've never put your trust in Jesus, please, please, please do that tonight.
Changed by Love with Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Morris County, New Jersey. Changed by Love brings you the great hope of the gospel to equip you to reach others with this transforming message. In a world filled with fear and mistrust, Pastor Jim provides the path to freedom in a clear and transparent style. Changed by Love needs your help to reach thousands, including your friends and neighbors. Find out the ways you can team financially with Changed by Love by visiting our website at changedbyloveradio.org or call 862-217-9686. Pastor Jim would love to hear your story and how Changed by Love has impacted your life or someone you know. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thank you for spending time with Pastor Jim Kevney and Changed by Love.